You are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your precious, your powerful, your holy word. Your word is alive and active. It does not return to you void. We pray, we ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit that we might hear and believe, walk in the truth of your word. May it be with us according to your word, God. Help us to hear and receive it. In the name of Jesus, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Hear now the word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power to the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to talk to you today about the secret of joy. I want to talk to you about how to walk in joy in the midst of the trials, the hardships, and the storms of life. About 7 years ago, I met a pastor here in Charlotte who is an immigrant from Vietnam. Pastor Nguyen is one of the most delightful, faithful, gracious, joy-filled people that I have ever met. I already knew his son because his son was a friend of mine who was also a pastor serving in the Presbytery of Charlotte. I remember being amazed and astonished when his son told me that before his father immigrated to the U.S., as a pastor in Vietnam, he was arrested and put in jail because of his faith in Jesus Christ. As my friend told me more of the details of what his father suffered, it all made sense. This inexpressible and glorious joy that emanates from Pastor Nguyen was forged in the crucible of persecution. Friends, there is a way to enter into and come out of trial and trouble better and not broken. There is a way to enter into and come out of trial and trouble better and not bitter. There is a way to enter into and come out of trial and trouble, not only walking in, but increasing your joy. That's what our reading from the Bible is about. our reading from the Bible. It's part of a letter written by the Apostle Peter. Peter, the fisherman who left his nets to follow Jesus. Peter, who walked and talked with Jesus. Peter, who in fear denied that he knew Jesus. Peter, who with his own eyes saw the empty tomb of Jesus. Peter, who saw the resurrected Jesus. Peter, the one who received the forgiveness and a renewed call to serve Jesus. Peter, who filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, preached the gospel of Jesus. Peter, who knew what it was like to be arrested and put in jail because of his faith in Jesus. That Peter wrote this letter. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this letter to encourage the Christians in his day who were going through a great hardship and trial. Peter, by the Holy Spirit, could sense the growing storm clouds of persecution against believers. The great trouble and trial and hardship that were coming upon the church, Peter could begin to see by the Holy Spirit. Here's what was happening to the believers in Peter's day. This letter, the historians tell us, was written around the year 64 AD. During that same year, there was a great fire in the city of Rome. The city burned for 6 days, causing massive destruction. The Roman Emperor Nero, to further his own political agenda, blamed the fire in Rome on a small religious minority called Christians. Nero then ordered the capture, torture, and the killing of believers. Some Christians were dressed in animal skins and put in the Colosseum to be torn apart by wild dogs. Others were used as human torches to light up the night. Others were crucified. And yet, those who were not Christian noticed, they began to notice that these followers of Jesus, in the midst of this horrible persecution, joyfully held on to their faith in Jesus. I don't know what you're going through today, but it's probably something less dramatic than torture and execution. Listen, friends, if our ancient brothers and sisters could go through that kind of persecution with joy, then you and I can face whatever we need to face today with joy. Your faith in Jesus, understand, your faith in Jesus will put you in conflict with the values and practices of the world. Your faith in Jesus will make you a target of our enemy. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this: anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Hardship is coming. The storms are coming. And again, if our brothers and sisters in the ancient church could undergo their persecution with joy, so can we. Our text from 1 Peter tells us how. Peter gives us 6 ways to walk in joy through the storms of life. Again, we're going to look at 2 today and 4 next Sunday. 1, if you want to have joy in the midst of trial and hardship, give praise to God. Look again at the first part of verse 3. Peter begins, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is significant that in this writing to these Christians under persecution, the first thing the Apostle Peter says after his greeting in verses 1 and 2 is, "Praise be to God." If you want joy in the midst of your storm, give praise to God. Praise. Praise is the heartfelt act of glorifying magnifying, exalting, honoring, adoring, and celebrating God for who He is and what He has done. Psalm 34, David wrote these words, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Now, David wrote that psalm before he became the king of Israel. David wrote that psalm when he was on the run for his life because the current king of Israel, Saul, was hunting him down to kill him. In the midst of that great trial and hardship and persecution, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Often when you and I are going through the storms of life and we're going through hardship and trial, we do what? We complain. We grumble. We wallow in self-pity. We blame others for our hardship. Instead, Peter says, give praise to God. Acts chapter 16, the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas were put in prison because of their faithfulness to Jesus. They had cast a demon out of a slave girl who was being used by her owners to make money by telling fortunes through that demon. Her owners had Paul and Silas brought before the authorities. The authorities had Paul and Silas stripped, beaten severely with rods, and then the authorities had Paul and Silas not only put in prison, but they put them in the innermost part of the prison and had their feet fastened in the stocks. But then the Bible tells us this, verses 25 and 26 of Acts 16. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God while the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Praise invites God into your situation. Praise enables you to see your trouble through the lens of God's goodness and greatness. Friends, I've got to say that this is one of the most important things that I've learned in my walk with the Lord. And you should practice this as part of your regular prayer life. When Jesus taught us how to pray using that model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, He began with teaching us how to praise. Father, You are in heaven. Father, Your name is holy. In your prayer time, begin with praising God. God, You're great. You're awesome. You're mighty. God, You're the one that created all that is. You're the God who parted the Red Sea for Israel. You're the God who kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You're the God who shut the mouths of lions for Daniel while he was in the lion's den. You are God Almighty. You're the God who opened blind eyes. You're the God who turned water into wine and fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You're the God who died and rose for me that I might have eternal life. Praise God for who He is and what He's done throughout history. Praise invites God into your situation, and praise enables you to see your trouble through the lens of God's goodness and greatness. So often when we are going through the storms of life, we focus on the trial. We focus on the hardship. We focus on that thing we're going through. And when we focus on our hard circumstances, they become bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds, and our faith in God gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But when you praise God, when you magnify God, when you celebrate Him for who He is and what He's done, in your heart and mind, you'll begin to see once again that He is bigger. He's bigger than what you're going through. Praise. Praise also reminds the powers of evil that they can do their worst to you, but at the end of the day, God is still greater. Friends, I have learned through the hardest trials of my life that praise to the Lord stirs up within me the joy of the Lord. If you want to walk in joy in the midst of the storms of life, open your mouth and declare who God is and what He has done. If you want joy in the midst of the storms of life, open your mouth and sing His praise. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sing His praise. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sing His praise. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you want to have joy in the midst of your hardship and trial, give praise to God. Part of what we're dealing with as a denomination is that sometimes we're a bit ashamed to really pour out our praise to God. And here the Apostle Peter says, if you want this joy, if you want this joy in the midst of your storm, praise God. Open up your mouth and declare who He is and what He's done. Two, if you want to have joy in the midst of trial and hardship, celebrate your salvation. Celebrate your salvation. Celebrate what God has done in your life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to save you. Listen again to the second half of verse 3. We're not getting out of verse 3 this morning. Listen again to the second half of verse 3. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, God has shown you mercy. Your salvation is solely by God's mercy. You did nothing to earn it. You didn't work for it. You were not good enough to achieve it. God saved you because God wanted to save you. There was nothing in you that would cause God to save you. God, in His mercy, gave you what you did not deserve. In mercy, God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. He suffered and bled and died on a cross as the atoning sacrifice for your sin to reconcile you to the holy God. He rose from the dead in victory over all the powers of evil. Peter says that by God's mercy, you have been given new birth. You've been born again. The technical word the church uses to describe this new birth is the word regeneration. Regeneration. Re-again. Generation Genesis. Again Genesis. Genesis again in you. Regeneration, or being born again, means that God has recreated the inside of you. God has, by the work of His Holy Spirit, taken your human spirit, which was dead in sin, and made it alive in Christ, and made it alive to God. New birth means that God has given you a new nature to replace your old nature, which was dominated by sin. And your new nature loves God. Your new nature wants to obey God. Your new nature seeks after God. You have been born again, and that new birth means that you have been born into God's family. New birth means that God has changed you on the inside. And it's a transformation so radical and so complete that the Bible says that you are a new creation in Christ. This new birth has given you a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh. No matter what you're going through today, can you just celebrate? Can you just celebrate the reality that your destiny, your ultimate destiny, is heaven and not hell? I mean, I don't know about you, but that truth by itself just stirs up joy in my soul. And again, remember our definition of joy. Joy is the gladness of soul that comes from knowing you are right with God. And because you know you're right with God, you know that you can expect good from God. Celebrate your salvation because you've been made right with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Here's another practical thing that you should practice in your spiritual disciplines. Preach the gospel to yourself. When you're going through a storm, and when you're not, declare the gospel to your own soul. Right? Say something like, you know what? God, in his mercy, his great mercy for me, sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and rise from the dead for me. Jesus has forgiven my sin. In Jesus, I'm forgiven. I'm reconciled to God. I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Revelation, one of my favorite parts is chapter 12. Chapter 12 talks about how Satan, our accuser, was thrown down to earth. And the Bible says in Revelation 12 that those who overcame Satan triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They triumphed by the precious and powerful atoning blood of Jesus and by their testimony. That is, their testimony about what the blood of Jesus has accomplished for them. You see, when we're going through the trials of life and the storms of life, the enemy comes accusing. You're no good. You're separated from God. Look at all the bad stuff you've done. You've done this thing. You've done that thing. You deserve to come on down to hell with me. And he does this to make you think that because you're going through this trial, because you're going through this storm, that God hates you, that God has rejected you, that God condemns you, that God doesn't love you. But in the midst of your hardship, in the face of the accuser, you celebrate your salvation. You say to him, yep, I've done all those things you say. Yep, I deserve hell. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus bled and died on a cross for me. He is risen in victory over sin and death for me. I am forgiven in Jesus. I'm a new creature in Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation in my life because I am in Christ. My destiny is glory. Celebrate your salvation. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 8. Romans 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, I love this part, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So come on, problems. And pain and persecution. Come on, financial crisis or even cancer. Come on, sickness or sorrow or suffering. You and I belong to Jesus. We are held in his hand, and he is not going to let us go. When you're going through the storms of life, when hardship and trouble and trial come, if you want to walk in joy, if you want to increase your joy, give praise to God and celebrate your salvation. Let's pray.